Devin and Morgana have been celebrating midlife love by getting married 100 times in 100 countries. They believe grown-up love gets better and more fun, especially for women. Everyone's smarter, wiser, men are more relationship ready, and if they're not, it's obvious. Forget anything you were told about being too old or too late for love and adventure. Instead, get fresh new tips on dating, relating, and travel to exotic destinations. And best of all, call in for personal guidance, creating crazy, sexy midlife love in your life.
Well, hello. Today's episode comes on the heels of our 6th wedding anniversary. And by wedding anniversary, the anniversary of our first wedding, because we've had 25 so far. So we celebrate May 23rd as our official wedding anniversary, because after that, it just gets too hard to keep track. And the reason I was inspired to do a show on the topic that your past does not determine your future is because before...
So before we dive into that...
Oh, yeah?
Why don't you introduce who we are and why we're here? And we'll get there. We'll get there. Okay. It's going to be fascinating. There's no question about it.
Yeah,
Devin. I'm Devin. How about that? How about we'll start?
Who are you, Devin? Tell me about yourself.
I'm Devin. I'm a relationship coach. And this week, I am obsessed with the Kabbalistic Tree of Life, which I've made a 3D model out of. It's sort of like popsicle sticks, but it is for cake pops, which I did not know was a thing because it's cheaper than dowels. And it's for a popsicle that's a cake.
And these are like your popsicle sticks to pass humans' relationship with God.
So it's something like that. Yes, that is what it is. The Tree of Life is a representation of man's relationship, not only with the divine.
And by man, you mean man and women.
Oh, yeah. Okay. No, I'm just talking human. It is the relationship between human with itself, with himself, herself, itself, zerself. I have no idea if I did that right. But in other words, whatever you identify with, it's your relationship to, let's say, your higher cosmic self, the cosmic ooze, to the stuff that happened after the Big Bang, whatever it is that you want to call it, it's this thing. And it's sort of like a psychological, spiritual model.
It being married to you is sort of like being married to a very mystical Trekkie. Because you have that like deep geek quality, which I find adorable. And I keep looking at this incredibly complicated 3D model, and I'm thinking, but can you play 12-dimensional Star Trek chess on it?
No, but you can play 3-dimensional Star Trek chess or Enochian chess or other 3-dimensional chess variations in general.
Ah.
And so... does that make me a nerd? I don't know. I suppose people could call in and debate with me whether or not I'm a nerd. And then I suppose I would decide whether or not that makes complete sense or I'm not.
I think you have geek cred. That's the way I put it. You have geek cred.
I like the exploration of self. I have to say that. And that's probably what's led me, A, to you, but sort of like in talking to people, because I never tire of sort of like, what's the thing? What's the thing that prevents you from being who you want and where you want and with whom you want to be? And so that idea, like we all have some, and I'm going to say this, I'm going to say the word nonsense, but really, it's like we all have our nonsense. So I say it sort of like with a song in my heart and a lilt in my voice, like our nonsense, our individual nonsense isn't a terrible thing. It's just part of the thing. It's part of sort of the tree of life model, and that's why.
Well, it's part of the game that we came here to play. So for those of you who don't know me, my name is Morgana Ray. I have been an international best-selling author and mentor coach for over 25 years. I've coached thousands of people all around the world for many, many years, leading high-end retreats in Bali and speaking around the world and just having the time of my life helping other people. I'm best known for healing the rift between heart, spirit, and money because my real desire is to heal the world. And that is a very useful entry point. In recent years, I've been focusing more specifically on cultivating and supporting world-changing women leaders. But I've always coached men. By the way, it's a really good thing that I've always coached men because when I was in my decades of dating wasteland, having really horrible heartbreak after heartbreak after heartbreak without exception, I didn't become bitter and I didn't give up on men because the men I was coaching, I think, sustained my faith in men because they all wanted to be good men and they brought their vulnerability and they brought the stuff that they didn't feel safe to share with anybody else. And so I'm really grateful to all the men clients that I've had because I think they helped me stay soft and open to the possibility that there was a good man out there for me. But I gotta tell you, 45 years of a perfect track record of romantic failure and no evidence that it was ever going to get any better. And that's actually why I love the topic of your past does not determine your future because, you know, Devin and I both have that history of complete and utter spectacular failure. I had that in relationship, and a decade before that, I had decades of financial and business failure, and that was actually that experience of failing at everybody else's programs and doing everything they told me to do and needing to come up with my own solution. That pain of failure was the greatest gift I ever had because it was like the key to unlock everything. So, let's see, I don't think I put the phone number in front of me for calling in.
While you look for that, I was going to say that you said a magic word, and I find it fascinating because it's used a lot, and that word is bitter. See, bitter to me is one of those words that gets people into trouble. I mean, it's gotten me into trouble because really what it means is I'm taking stock in my experience and I'm saying that the experience wasn't worthwhile. Now, maybe I'm painting a very broad brushstroke here, and that's fine. I'm going to do that for the moment. But sort of bitterness is this idea that, okay, so I had some bad luck. I ran into some bad people. I had a bad experience. I don't like the experience. And now I have to sort of like, now I'm left with this sense that, you know, let's say Susie hurt my feelings, and so now I'm going to take that experience of Susie and I'm going to slather it across all the women that I'm going to meet from here on out. A little bit of Susie is going to come with me. I mean, we'll call that baggage, but it's sort of like bitterness is when I've decided that my baggage is like a real drag. And now I'm going to project that badness, that baggage all over every other human being that I'm going to meet who might fit into like the category that I wanted Susie to be in.
I want to give a little bit of love to baggage right now. Because we beat ourselves up a lot for our failures and for patterns, you know, behaviors and limitations that we hit over and over again. We have a lot of pain around that, you know, and we get hopeless. And that can actually get into a really dangerous place. Despair can be really dangerous. But those patterns, that baggage always starts from this like positive intention, the self-loving place of I want to protect myself because I love myself. I want to avoid those mistakes again. And because we're still figuring it out, and also because a lot of these patterns started much earlier than we're aware of, they kept us alive until now. They actually were very useful at some point, but just like if I were to try to get into the shoes that fit me like a glove when I was a 5-year-old little toddler, if I tried to get into those as a 45-year-old, it just doesn't fit anymore. And so we outgrow patterns, and we may be trying to wear them many, many years after we've outgrown them. And I think the pain is a signal that maybe we have outgrown something and it's time to get the message so we can let go of what doesn't work, but we can find the gift that we need for what we want. Devin, do you have any wisdom? I found the phone number. So if you are listening and you have any stuckness in your love life, whether it is the person you're with or the reasons you're not with anybody, this is a great time to call. The phone number to call into the show is 888-627-6008. Again, the number to call in for some live laser coaching is 888-627-6008. So, Devin, what turned around your losing streak in love?
I think it was a whole lot of things. But, I mean, I would argue that the main thing was that I became progressively more self-aware. In other words, it's very easy, I think, to be bitter and apprehensive and upset when everybody else is at fault. And so when I stopped pointing fingers at other people and started sort of like getting hip to the idea that I'm participating in the nonsense and I am cultivating the nonsense, and maybe I'm not as great a guy as that I would hope that I am. So that's sort of that was sort of my experience.
Here's what I would ask, because I'm thinking of a friend in particular, very, very kind, very giving, lots of integrity, and she kept attracting guys who would cheat on her, take advantage of her emotionally or financially, and she would like walk in like an innocent and would feel so disappointed, and she has become bitter and hurt out of self-protection. So what would you say to somebody with that history?
Well, I think what ends up happening to a lot of people is that they kind of go from one apex of the pendulum to the other, mm-hmm. meaning that I go into something and I'm really open and I get hurt and maybe I didn't ask the right questions, or I was so sort of Pollyanna over just an experience that I didn't really pay attention to the red flags, or when friends told me something was wrong and I didn't listen because, well, you know, Susie. And by the way, if you're a Susie out there, it's nothing personal. It's just one of those names that I sort of pick on for no particular reason at all. I don't even have really, that's not true. I have a distant Susie in my history. But I wasn't picking on her either. So the pendulum is one direction, right? I'm really Pollyanna about a particular experience or a relationship, and then I get really disappointed. It doesn't work out the way I had intended, or this person doesn't become who it is that I was hoping they would be, or the relationship, or whatever, right? You know, there's a million things. And then what ends up happening is that the pendulum, I decide, well, okay, things are going to be different now. Mm-hmm. And I'm holding on to my upset about Susie, and then the pendulum swings the other way. So now I'm going to really guard my feelings, right? In other words, instead of asking myself, well, what questions could I have asked Susie from the get-go that had helped me find out whether or not we were a good match or not? All of a sudden, what I decide is that now I'm the sentry. I'm going to guard the entrance to the castle with my last fiber of my being. And that doesn't work either, because at some point you have to kind of find a middle ground. Like, in other words, it's really about how do I set up boundaries? In other words, boundaries being things that I need, right, for my happiness. And at the same time, without having to do it in a mean-spirited, angry way, where my bitterness becomes the thing and my anger becomes the thing that's going to defend me. Because if I'm honest or sad or some other emotion, those feelings and those emotions don't always stand up for themselves. But anger does. Anger's happy to stand up.
Well, and part of the challenge I had was, like, anybody who was out of college before the internet started, it's like, you know, nothing prepared me for internet dating. I think I was almost 30 when that even began. So if you're used to meeting somebody in person and getting to know them at work or at school or something, that's very different than this online thing. And I wasn't raised with, like, online personal ad marketing training in school or at home. So it took me a really, really long time to learn how to date in the new world.
Well, I think when I started dating, there were carrier pigeons and there was that bird with a sharp beak that used to, hammer out letters on a stone tablet like they did on the Flintstones.
Yeah.
I think it's one of those things that as a person of a certain age that, yeah, there's, but here's the joy of the technology is that you can play with it. You don't have to take it too seriously. Like, I think there was a time where you could go out with somebody and decide whether you liked them or not. And it didn't have to be a big deal. And you could just honor that if somebody was doing a thing that you didn't like, that you could just decide not to go out with them a second or a third or a tenth time even.
And it only took me 20 years to figure that out.
Well, it's a complicated lesson.
It took me that long to figure out that not every date had to be the one, because I'm like the polar opposite of you in that way. It took me that long to figure out that nobody could really reject me on a first date because they didn't really know me. It was just a match or it wasn't a match. It took me that long to actually find coaches and guides to teach me how to write a profile that would attract the kind of person I want. And really how to date and be ready for a relationship. And this is one of the reasons I love midlife and why I do believe that our failure makes us better relationship partners and more ready for success, and also makes the other people out there more relationship ready, is because we sort of enter the dating world as young, beautiful people with no useful, real good information at all. Like, movies and books are so unrealistic. And so we don't know what a relationship is supposed to be like. But after a few decades of hit or miss, and a lot of miss, we start to get realistic and we start to find what really makes us happy. It doesn't have to be the big yacht or the superficial things. It's really the qualities of the human being that we need to be happy. And I can't stress enough what a relief it was when I started realizing the guys I was dating were looking for a real relationship. And they'd been hurt too. And that's a much nicer place to be than young narcissistic people on both sides trying to just get what we want from the other person, which is, I think, what dating was like in my 20s. So if you are feeling stuck in any way, in some pattern that no longer fits you or that you are ready to release. And by the way, that's the greatest thing, is failures and pain and heartbreak build the leverage and the motivation so that we have the desire to make the change that is going to make our lives so much better. So if you are feeling stuck in your love life, whether you're with somebody or not with somebody, if you have some great horror stories and an impressive track record of heartbreak, give us a call at 888-627-6008. I may not need to be said, but I believe in privacy and protection. If you want to use a different name that's not your own for some reason, that's fine. We won't know. Phone number 888-627-6008.
So that means the guy who picks up the phone is not going to grill them, make them take a polygraph test. I'm saying that facetiously. No, he won't be doing that. He's a nice guy. But yeah, he's probably not going to just pop up on the radio.
Right. So, Devin, what process do you recommend for releasing old patterns that no longer serve?
Well, that's a giant, giant question. And I think you have to kind of start small. I mean, a lot of it has to do with, you know, again, sort of like just kind of getting to know who it is that you are, because a lot of times, like I still know women and I talk to them about what they want in their lives and all this other stuff. And, you know, a lot of it is that they want a 25-year-old guy who's 6'4", who is a gentleman and a scholar and very funny. And he makes $150,000 to $500,000 a year, and he gets 3 months of vacation. And at some point, you have to ask yourself, why do you need all the stuff? Do you know what I mean? Like there has to be this point. So for me, part of that realization is that I could be really, really happy with other stuff. And not meaning that I didn't, I'm a lucky guy. My wife is crazy attractive and successful and all these other things. But it wasn't like, you know, in other words, the laundry list of all the things that I want didn't come first. I also had to realize that people being human are very fallible and fragile and imperfect. And so that meant that if I'm going to be in a relationship and something was amiss, that it wasn't necessarily personal. It wasn't like somebody was out to get me or do something negative to me, or, you know, that's the bitterness talking. That's all the stuff that we don't really actually need or want. You know, it's one of those things where I think you get to realize that somebody's behavior isn't about you. And that was part of the thing. In other words, somebody's dealing with their own insecurities, their own fallibility. And, you know, over time, it didn't happen overnight. Over time, and I'm going to say a C word, and it's really horrible. It's a horrible word. And, you know, maybe if you have younger people in the room, you should cover your ears or cover their ears.
Sensors are standing by.
Right. No, compassion. Compassion is one of those weird words that we don't really want to offer somebody. We want to sort of like, you know, have the court of higher opinion, and we want to sort of hang them by their feet and flog them to root out all of their imperfections. And then we get to say, when it's all over, wow, that was a dud. What a dud. And now I'm justified in my bitterness and my hostility, but I'm still going to hold on to a tiny, tiny bit of hope. So I will take that and I will go out into the world and I will try to date.
Oh, and that lucky next person that you date.
Right. And again, it's not personal. It's not because I've gone on that date. I've gone out on that date where it's like, okay, I'll slow down to 10 miles an hour and, you know, Good luck for all of us.
I was on a date with a guy. I don't know if I've mentioned it on the show. I was on a date with a guy who gave me his entire sexual history, naming names and graphic details on our first date.
That seems like a really, really unfortunate choice.
And I knew that if I ever had a relationship with him, that I would be that list.
You would be the introduction. You'd be you'd be on the next introduction of his date.
Oh.
And listen, again, these are all ridiculous stories, but I think part of it is the more that we hold on to those stories. I'm not saying that they're not funny and they're not great anecdotes or anything of that stuff, but I think there's, like, if we want to get, listen, our name of our own show is, what is it again?
Crazy, sexy,
that's
life,
it.
Love.
Yeah. Okay, so
with emphasis on
if
crazy.
We want that crazy, sexy part,
yeah,
we have to be open to it, and we have to be accepting of somebody else's monstrous failures.
In fairness to this guy, he was in a lot of pain, and I do have compassion for that. But he also scared me because his pain made him vindictive to me when I didn't want to date him again. And we don't want to take our pain and hurt other people with it.
Oh, yeah, no, of course not. I'm not suggesting, and by the way, compassion isn't necessarily the same thing as wanting a second date. Embracing the fact that people are flawed doesn't mean that I want to marry all of the flaws. You know what I mean? Just because somebody showed up at the door doesn't mean like, I'm done dating. This person showed up at the door. Now let's go get the marriage contract, you know, move into the marriage hut for further examination.
Right. And you were such a fan of marriage when we first started dating.
Well, that's, you know.
You said you didn't believe in it.
No, I didn't. Well, okay. But marriage and relationships are two different things. Like one of my closest friends is not married. I love them both. He and his wife, they're a wonderful couple. They're not married. Actually, I have several of them, the more I think about it, who are in love. They've been together for many, many moons. They're happy. They hold hands. They are each other's best friends, all that stuff. But they're not married. Does that mean I should no longer revere the quality of their relationship because of a marriage contract? And I would argue, and this is how I entered our relationship. I entered our relationship not with some desire of a contract, some sort of a contractual agreement. It's still not part of that deal. Although we have that, I think it's much more about, well, what's the quality of the relationship? You know, being married and miserable and being sort of like cohabitating with babies and all that other stuff and happy, you know.
Well, I vote for happiness.
Right. Well, and I would actually even take that a step further, that happiness is great, but I think sort of like when you have a measure of peace and contentment in what you're doing, like a feel, you know, sort of, I don't even know if it's a word. It would be sort of like contentment and peace and purposefulness. Is that a word? It's not.
We can come up with one after the show. That sort of, I think, goes into what I like to define as my own personal experience of happiness. Like last week was really, really rough. It was the 1 year anniversary of my father's death. And I was in a really dark place leading up to that. And between that and the pandemic and the deaths in April and, you know, it's just so comforting to be in a happy partnership. And by happy, I mean with somebody that I really adore and enjoy being with. And, you know, talking about, you know, shopping lists, one of the biggest deal breaker things on my list had to do with politics. And that kind of snuck in under the radar. And by the way, it does cause me a lot of aggravation and discomfort and upset and pain sometimes.
Does anybody know what you're talking about?
Well, just the difference in our political outlook.
Well, then we should
can be really painful for me. And given all the people I've dated and all the life that I've lived before I met you, when I look at the totality of it, even though you drive me crazy sometimes and I want to kick you out or run away myself sometimes, when I look at the totality of it, you are a wonderful man and a wonderful relationship partner. And I'm crazy in love with you. And that'll have to be enough for now.
Right. Because so for the record, I, you know, the funny thing is I don't even really consider myself much of a conservative. Now, if I were to have to label myself, I would say I was conservative. And by that, I mean ideas that come from conserving the Constitution are ideals that I really appreciate. And so that said, I don't really have like a series of politicians that mean a great deal to me, because at some point I embrace the fact that when I say man, I'm really talking about humans. Sort of like the common man is like, that's a tough place to be. I mean, this is a whole separate conversation. But my thing is that in terms of politics, is that, you know, I think we're supposed to have the conversation, and I think we're supposed to have uncomfortable conversations, and I think we're supposed to have conversations. And, you know, a lot of it to me sort of boils down to, do you believe in promoting everybody? Like I'm here to fight for the welfare for humanity. Whoever's against that's a terrible human being. Fair enough. That's a reasonable stance. And it's also a reasonable stance to believe I actually want my personal freedom to believe and do and behave however it is that I want with minimal government interference. And I understand that. And I think those two ideas are sort of diametrically opposed. But there is sort of like the checks and balances, because they both have good points. But the, you know, one side thinks that one side thinks the other side's completely invalid, and the vice versa.
And so we are a living constitutional convention nightly here in our home. And back to the topic at hand.
Yeah, what were we even discussing?
What were we discussing? Your past does not determine your future. And if you have a pattern that you would like some help to rapidly release that is in your way, that is my wheelhouse. So call in at 888-627-6008 if you would like a little laser love coaching. By the way, and if you can't call in to us live and you're listening to the replay and you want some help, I will say that I have a hypnotic MP3 for sale at my website. The URL is moneymagnetstore.com. That's just because my niche, what I'm known for, is relationship with money. But this particular program is not specifically about money, although it can be useful for money too. It's my limiting belief obliterator, and it's one of my all-time favorite tools, because this is the process that completely sent my own dating and love life on a completely different trajectory. It uses neuro-linguistic programming and timeline therapy to take you back in time to literally, from a psychological point of view, to change your past, your experience of your past, so you get the positive lesson, you leave all the garbage and trauma behind, and then through this hypnotic process, you create and rehearse the new future. And when I did that, it was almost an out-of-body experience for me, because I suddenly saw my whole dating life history with such crystal clarity, and I thought it was hysterically funny. This thing that I'd been crying about was so funny to me because it was obvious to me from the bigger picture that these choices that I had made romantically weren't supposed to work, and that I was in the process of just having a human experience, and it was a game, and the proof was in the terrible choices I was making, and I could in that moment decide to make a different choice moving forward, and I did. And from that moment forward, it was like every single person I dated had an expiration date above his head. I had such honesty and clarity about whether this person was suitable or not. And some people were like, eh, you know, expiration date is today, first date. Some people were like, okay, maybe 3 months. And by the time I met Devin, he was the first person that I had dated in years who did not have an expiration date above his head. And it wasn't that I was ruling out reasonable candidates. And the wonderful thing about men is men are so obvious about who they are. And it's at least the people I dated were so clear. It wasn't that they were bad, but our unsuitability was so loud. And in my face, I couldn't lie to myself anymore. And then I got to Devin and I kept waiting for the expiration date to show up, and it didn't. And it didn't. And as every one of his kind of his secrets came out, the things that I didn't know about him right away, like his fascination with Kabbalah. And I don't even think I knew he was a father on our first date. But everything I learned about him made him a better and a better match for me specifically. So that is my limiting belief obliterator. I love to use that whenever I want to get rid of a pattern that isn't working for me anymore. So that's available at moneymagnetstore.com if you want some help after this show. So if you would like some free on-the-spot laser love coaching right now, call into 888-627-6008, and Devin and I are just going to continue to talk. So, Devin, talk.
What was I saying?
I don't know.
This is a great moment.
Renee is on line two.
Oh, yeah, please. hurry up, bring her on.
Hello, Renee.
Hello, Renee. Is this Morgana?
Yes, it is. Hi.
Hi, how's it going?
Excellent, excellent. So how can we help?
Well, I really love the theme that the past doesn't need to be the future.
Uh-huh.
And it's very timely for me right now because I've reached a threshold in my marriage that's about to be a 12-year anniversary. And I've been kind of one foot in and one foot out for about 5 years now. Mm-hmm. And I want to be in, but I'm not there. And I know that part of the issue, a huge part of the issue, is that I'm still carrying around a lot of residue and resentment and regret from how things went in the first part of our marriage, really the first decade of our marriage.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that there are many beautiful possibilities available if I could actually clear the field of all
yeah.
that.
Yeah. So before we get rid of anything...
Yeah.
Let's try a little appreciation for the resentment, because it's there for a reason. So
yeah.
How has the resentment served you in a positive way?
How has the resentment served me in a positive way? Well, it's I guess it served the purpose of keeping my focus and attention on what I needed and what I, like, as it felt at the time, like what was wrong, what I needed to fix, what wasn't happening, the needs that weren't being met, you know, the ways I was being done wrong kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And so there was, in a way, that was like I was taking care of myself. I wasn't
that sounds
just,
really important.
Yeah, I guess so.
So, Renee, would you mind if I did something with you right now?
I wouldn't mind at all.
Okay. So could you imagine that your resentment is not all of you, but is a very important part of you? And if you could imagine pulling her out of your body into like her own body and have her sit in front of you, can you do that for me right now?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
How old is she?
4.
Oh, wow. And how is she sitting?
Well, I'm seeing this this little musical rocking chair that I remember. Like when you rocked, it made music because it would trigger a little music box thing, you know? And she's kind of dolled up, like in a way I never actually was, but with, like, you know, frilly clothes and piles of hair and things like that, rocking in the chair.
So she seems actually really lovable.
Yeah.
Yeah. She's also part of your team. Does she have a message for you that she needs to deliver before she can rest and let you take over?
Okay. What might that be?
Well, you'll know it. So here's the thing. She has wisdom. But it's really hard for a 4-year-old to run an adult's life.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
She has wisdom. As you said, she has wisdom. My thought was like, no, she doesn't have wisdom. She has needs, but she doesn't have wisdom.
Well, but there's also wisdom in the needs. Like, she has a message for you. And but she doesn't want to be the grown-up anymore. 4-year-olds want to play. And so she needs to deliver her message so that she can go off and play, and you don't need to carry around the resentment like you're carrying around a 4-year-old all the time. But first, she needs to do her job, which is make sure you got the message so that she can go off and do something more fun.
Yeah. Okay.
So what does she need from you so that she can take off and have fun?
It's like a whole bunch of things. I don't know if I have the right words. She needs a yes. She needs a yes. She needs like a thumbs up. She needs pleasure and peace and like everything's good. Everything's fine. Like she needs a big, happy, hell yeah, thumbs up. We're good. You're good. Everything's good.
So can I jump in for just a second?
Go ahead.
It's fine with me.
So does the hell yes, does that come from you, or does that come from your husband?
Oh, that comes from me. That comes from who she's not getting it from. I get plenty of hell yeses from my husband.
Okay. So if you give her the hell yes right now, what happens?
I can't.
What happens?
If I give a hell yes right now.
To her.
To her. Well, did I? There was something in there like, no, I can't. It's not okay yet. But I guess for her it can be.
Mm-hmm. So just try it as a science experiment and see what happens.
Try what? Sorry?
Try giving her that hell yes, and let's just see what happens.
Or can I?
She throws her arms around me, and it's a big hug and kiss fest.
And how does that feel?
It feels good.
And where did her resentment go?
You know, from the second that she was separate from me, there was a being there, but there wasn't any resentment, if that makes any sense. Like, there was nothing wrong with her. There was nothing wrong for her, even, but she had the needs.
Yeah, nothing wrong with needs. You want to keep the needs, right?
Yeah, I guess. I mean, that's been a lifelong struggle for me, is having needs that don't work for whoever I'm around.
Ah, that's another pattern.
Yeah.
What happens when you have needs?
I'm in such a weird place right now because I'm literally standing outside of my parents' house and I'm a grown-ass woman here to help take care of my dad. And just before I called, and I wasn't going to call because I was like, I cannot have this conversation anywhere near my parents.
And yet, here you are, taking care of your needs.
Well, I walked out. I excused myself and I walked out. I took care of a need. Nobody could have needs around my mother. She was the only one who got to have needs.
By the way, that's an important thing to know. And being able to hide your needs was a really effective survival strategy. Yay you.
Thank you. That's for sure.
Yeah.
That's for sure. Yeah. Oh, God, it suddenly feels complicated.
Yeah.
But it was a nice moment to give the little girl the hell yeah. That was actually pretty great.
So my invitation to you, and you can call us back again in 2 weeks when we can dive in. I'd love to follow up with you. And you can also try, I mentioned the limiting belief obliterator, but on your own, you may want to have a similar conversation with that part of you that is afraid of having needs.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Knowing that that part of you too is on your team, exists only for your highest good and happiness, and just may not be doing a great job. Right?
Yeah.
Devin, what do you have to say?
I think you guys are doing great. It sounds. This sounds. How are you feeling, Renee?
Thanks for asking. It's always so nice to be asked questions like that. I'm feeling curious. I'm feeling positively curious. I don't know I don't know which part exactly is the part that's responsible for hiding that I have needs, and I haven't thought about it that way, maybe ever, but there's a lot of that.
Yeah.
And I shouldn't say that. The reason I haven't thought about this way maybe ever is I don't live my life currently like I'm a person who hides having needs. I'm a person who's all loud and proud with her needs. But there is that constant struggle of like, is this okay? Is this okay? Is this okay? And I haven't thought about like that I'm working really hard to justify how I am.
Yeah, we might want to call that part of you your needy part because you have. Did I nail it? Well, because here's the thing, is you have a conflicted relationship with her, but I have a hunch That when you and she are on the same team as sisters, you will be unstoppable. And your life could, you could get your needs met without friction. What would that be like?
Oh, fuck it out. Wait, are we letting Chris on the show?
Thank you so much, Renee. Yeah, please, please check back in with us. I wanna hear from you again.
And thank you. Thank you both.
This my pleasure. Really, thank you.
Really. Take care, Renee.
Fabulous dose and shot. Thank you so much.
And we have Brenda on line 4. Brenda, when you're ready.
Okay. Hi, I'm Brenda. How are you?
Excellent, Brenda. So how can we help? What's going on?
Well, I'm a psychic medium, and I live in Long Island, New York.
Uh-huh.
Yes. God is good. And I wanted to see if I can, how do I become certified? Considering through your, I guess, company? How's that?
Oh, through my Financial Alchemy?
I guess. I mean, how do I don't know. I'm calling. Is this Signs of Life Radio?
This is Crazy Sexy Midlife Love Radio.
Oh, why am I calling you? That's weird. That's so weird. 888 is
276008? Yes, it 32374. Oh, sorry. 888-627-6008. That might be a show coming up at another time.
That's and so weird. It's a Signs of Life Radio.
And I like to believe there are no accidents.
How's your love life?
Yeah, no, I'm not. Listen, everything happens for a reason.
Right.
That's a crazy thing. Very strange.
So is there any pattern you've been wanting to release or anything going on in your love life that you've been wanting to address?
When it comes to love, not really, because I kind of see everything. So God is good, and I'm able to see all the flaws that need to be addressed and then just address them.
Many blessings. That sounds
but, you know, yeah, totally. God is so good. But I will tell you, it's weird that we're talking about love. Because when I do my readings, a lot of time I'm actually able to see who would fit with someone else very clearly. Like they'll say, because I get their energy and I'm able to see really what that person that I'm reading with, what kind of personality they should be with, what would blend with them really well. That's the interesting part.
Isn't that fun?
Yeah.
Are you in a partnership yourself?
Yes. Yes, absolutely.
How long have you been together?
10 years.
Oh, wonderful. And what do you think is the secret of your romantic success?
I just think that you got to just, like, put everything on the table and not be afraid of anything, I think. Something new, something old, just be who you are. And when you be who you are, things go well. Do you know what I mean?
And yeah, the tricky is that
there's no fantasy and there's no reality. It's almost like just a clear foundation or a clear basis of life and a clear understanding of it and be who you are.
Yeah,
you're more comfortable in your own skin and you get loved more. It's hard to explain. Know what I mean?
Well, I mean, I think the answers are easy, but we're complicated human beings. But I think
we don't understand what's going on. When you understand what's going on psychologically and emotionally, you can make sure that you know it really does do well. I just think there's no magic pill to anything. I just think it's reality and fantasy. I just think you got to be who you are. And when you're more real with your life, that's when things. Sorry, I have a puppy that's talking. When you're more real with your life and what your expectations are, and even sometimes you don't even know what those expectations are, but I think one other thing, if you just are who you are, then things get revealed one way or the other, and you make things work. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense?
Yes. Thank you so much for calling, Brenda. It was a delight to meet
totally.
You.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
That was fun.
Take care, and best of fortunes with your certification.
Oh yeah, no, definitely, for sure. I just saw other people. I mean, I have a business anyway. I'm in New York. Where are you guys out of?
California.
Oh, beautiful. One day I'll get there. I keep saying I'm going to go there.
Well,
as you said, God is good.
Yes. Thank you so much. Bye, Brenda. So that was fun.
Indeed.
So Devin, what do you think about what Brenda said about fantasy and reality blending together?
Well, I mean, I think that's sort of all there is.
Yeah.
In other words, we get to just kind of go through, we get to go through the process together. I mean, I agree that the idea of being authentic, who you are right from the get-go, is crucial in any new relationship, in part because I think the idea is that we want to put our best foot forward. And of course, we want to do that. The trick is, however, is that we want to be exactly who we are, so we're attracting somebody who's into who we are rather than somebody enjoying too much of what a fantasy might be rather than being who we are.
Well, I mentioned this before, and this is one of those things that it took me 40 years of living to finally figure out, which is if I am nervous or performing on a first date, I don't feel safe, which means there's something about the other person that isn't right for me. Doesn't mean he's a bad person. There's just something that I'm picking up on a subconscious level that makes me not feel safe or like I can be myself. And one of the big notable things from our very first date was I never felt like I had to perform with you. And we celebrated our 6th anniversary on Saturday. I never got out of my pajama bottoms or fuzzy slippers or put on any makeup.
That's correct.
And we had Thai takeout for a quarantine anniversary, and it was perfect.
It was delicious.
It was delicious.
Well. Yeah, no, that was a nice little dinner that we had on that day. So, what do you think is the crux of today's show for you?
I, like you, but in my own way, in my own schedule, did a lot of work on myself, on my limiting beliefs, on my grief, on all of my love injuries, going back to rejections by parents and then by school friends and just a lifetime of all those wounds that made me feel unlovable and unworthy and all the times love had hurt me. And I really dove deep into those. I used the process I teach for changing relationship with money. I used it on love and was really shocked to see how frightening and devastating and even deadly love had felt in my life. And I faced that so that I could make a choice of what didn't belong in my life and what did. I took classes on men because you are so different, just so that I wouldn't take personally things that weren't personal. And I would understand better what you need to be happy so that I could get out of the way and let you do what you need to do to be the best possible man in relationship with me. And I also, and I didn't bring this up during this hour, but I also finally think that there was just this piece of divine timing that you can't do anything about, where it really felt like the hand of God was getting in the way to keep me single, and you and I were available, like, at the right time to be ready for each other. And it was very frustrating getting there because the people I was dating, lovely people, but it wasn't even a question. There's a reason you are the first person that I've married, and I've married you 25 times.
It's not a bad start.
Not a bad start.
And so it looks like we've got a few seconds left. So I do want to thank Renee for calling in. That was a great call. And then Brenda from Long Island, who mistakenly called in and was equally entertaining.
And if you want to be part of our Crazy Sexy Midlife Love family, go to crazysexymidlifelove.com. Download Devin's amazing ebook for free. Get notifications when our next show goes live. Join our Facebook group. Be part of the family, and we will see you in 2 weeks. Mwah! Love to you all.
Yes, have a great week, everybody. Take care and stay safe.
Thank you for listening to Crazy Sexy Midlife Love. Please sign up to join our free love family at crazysexymidlifelove.com. To get alerts to live shows, call in and ask questions, or just listen in. And ladies, don't forget to download Devin's free ebook, Women Are Smarter Than Men and Other Secrets Marriage-Minded Women Need to Know. Also available at crazysexymidlifelove.com.